This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
This is session 38 of our study of the Thessalonian letters. Our passage is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 3-4. And I've entitled this study, The Man of Lawlessness, Part 1. I want to begin this session with a correction. In our previous session, I said that the Day of the Lord was essentially synonymous with the parousia. But that's not entirely correct. The parousia, or presence, literally, would include, but not be limited to, the rapture, the first return of Christ. The Day of the Lord, however, speaks primarily to the Lord's return in vengeance and judgment, that is, His second coming at the end of the tribulation. So, the parousia, not just one single event, the parousia would cover the time of His second coming, but it's not really synonymous with it. And this point is important, especially as we consider this passage in the second letter. What we have before us in verses 3-12 is a frightening prospect. It describes a period on earth of unimaginable anti-God fervor. Paul in this passage describes the tribulation, specifically the worst of it, the Great Tribulation, which is the last half of the seven-year tribulation. This passage focuses on the rule of this three-and-a-half-year period by the individual referred to in Scripture as the man of lawlessness, or the man of sin, son of destruction, or son of perdition, that is, the Antichrist, who Lang refers to as incarnate sin, as opposed to Christ, who was and is incarnate righteousness. I'd like to begin by reading this extended passage. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 and down to verse 12, so that we get the context, the larger scope of this. Paul writes, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure, or be disturbed either by a spirit, or a message, or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. What a terrible time this will be. No one in his right mind would want to witness it or be a part of it. In our last session, I described the Thessalonians at the time this letter was being written as feeling as if they'd missed the rapture train. Paul's purpose in this passage, verses 3 to 12, is to describe what will follow the rapture of the church, the taking up of all Christians, alive and dead, everywhere on earth, to heaven with the Lord, thus proving to them that since it has not yet occurred, they had not missed the train. To wit, working backward, if the day of the Lord has not come, then the man of lawlessness has not yet been revealed. If the man of lawlessness has not yet been revealed, then the great tribulation has not yet begun. If the rapture has not yet occurred, then the tribulation has not begun. If believers are still on earth, then the rapture has not yet occurred. Thus, you have not missed the train, Thessalonians. You're all right. Don't worry. Don't let people fool you. The word translated deceive in our text really means beguile. Don't let anyone put stars in your eyes, fool you. In this part one of our study, we're going to back off and look at the forest, the lay of the land, before we examine in the subsequent sessions the individual trees, the details of the text. And for this, I have included a chart entitled Daniel's 70th Week. If you have the PDF, it would be the last page on the PDF of these notes. I did not design the chart. I obtained it from the Berean Bible Institute, so I thank them for that. We'll not be discussing all the fine details included in this chart, because they're not discussed in our text. This chart does an excellent job of illustrating the sequence and details of the end times, from the present church period of grace through to the millennium and the eternal state. There may be a few of the finer details in the chart regarding the seals and trumpets and bowls during the tribulation that could be argued. But overall, this is a good roadmap for the end times from the pre-tribulational, pre-millennial position. And you'll want to keep it handy as we proceed through this second chapter during this and the subsequent sessions. So let's take a look at the chart. We begin on the left with the church age. The graded blue area represents the church age, which the chart refers to as the period of the dispensation of grace. That is, during this period from Christ on earth to the present day, and beyond, if the Lord tarries, we don't know, the church has been established and operative, the gospel has been preached beyond the church, and the grace of God in Christ has been operational, it has been dispensed. It's a time of grace, where God wants to leave the door open, as it were, to get as many people into the kingdom as possible. In the context of the end times, God's grace has been evident because he has withheld his judgment. Turn, please, to Exodus 34. God's grace and long-suffering regarding sin did not begin with Christ. Though we may not refer to it as the church age, From the very beginning, Yahweh showed grace and patience towards sinful man. It began in the very beginning, in the garden, with Adam and Eve. His behavior was gracious to them, and he showed them grace when they rebelled against him and sinned. He did not destroy them. The full measure of his wrath did not come down on them. He showed them grace. He took away their privileges. He kicked them out of their paradise. After Moses requested that he be allowed to see Yahweh's glory, the Lord told Moses that he would make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. End quote. But Moses could not look upon his face, not and live. When the Lord passed before him, he proclaimed who and what he was. We find that in Exodus 34, beginning with verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. The Apostle Peter spoke of this in his second epistle. In 2 Peter 3:7-9, he writes, But by his word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So now let's continue in our chart. On our chart, what to us is considered a momentous event, the rapture, is represented simply as a thin line at the right edge of the church age, ending in an upward pointing arrow. This is when what Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 occurs. This is when all believers, living and dead, will be supernaturally removed from the earth to heaven. The thin line faithfully illustrates, if not its importance to man, the supposed brevity of this event, which will occur in the twinkling of an eye. Then we come to the 70th week. The tribulation. The terminology of some prophecy can be admittedly confusing to us today. Not least is this reference to weeks, as in the prophet Daniel's 70 weeks in Daniel 9. Why don't you turn to that, Daniel 9? But note, in this session, we're just taking a glance at the overall picture. We will return for the pertinent details. Remember, too, that ours is not a study of the entire end times. It's not a survey, a study of Daniel or the Revelation, but a study of what Paul mentions about it in the Thessalonian letters. So, because of that, we won't be discussing every tiny detail of the end times. That's not what we are about here. Look at Daniel 9, beginning with verse 27. Let me read this, and then I'll discuss this business of weeks. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people in your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now, the word translated weeks in Daniel is the Hebrew shabua, and it means literally sevened, as in the number seven, sevened. It simply means a set or unit of seven. In our vernacular, a week is a set of 7 days. And this word could refer to a set of days in the Bible. But it can also refer to years, as it does here. So, a week, in this context, would be 7 years. So Daniel speaks of 70 sets of 7 years. That is, 70 years times seven, which would equal 490 years. Verse 27 in Daniel 9, using 1 week for 7 years, describes what our chart calls Daniel's 70th week. So, harmonizing verse 27 with our chart, it begins, "And he," that is, the prince who is to come, "he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week." Israel will embrace this prince. It's called prince, not necessarily royalty, but prince as a strong leader. And they will embrace this prince as a political messiah, if not the literal messiah. And Christ in John 5:43 speaks to this. In so many words, he says, you will reject me, but another you'll accept. And this is who he's referring to. This is the start, the beginning of the 70th week of this prophecy, represented in the chart by the far left red line. From this point to the midpoint, 3.5 years later, this prince, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be gathering his forces, not yet in control, but making his plans. He's getting ready to make his move. And then the verse continues, "But in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering." The middle of the week is the middle of 7 years. After 3.5 years, represented in the middle of the chart where the yellow diamond is located. And there's a lot going on here. This is when the dark prince goes public. He declares himself as one to be worshipped. Now, not everyone agrees. Some will say a statue is erected in the temple. Some say no, it's literally the man of lawlessness. That can be debated. But one way or another, the Antichrist declares himself as essentially God. "You will worship me." And the verse continues, "And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate." During the last half of the 70th week, the Antichrist will wreak havoc. But it will also be the time of his decline, and his doom is set. The green line on the chart marks the end of the 70th week, the end of the tribulation, and the triumphant return of Christ to judge the world. Finally, on our chart, the graded yellow to the right represents the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, commonly referred to as the millennium. And the graded blue at the far right represents the eternal state of the new heaven and new earth. In this abbreviated session, we've looked at just the overall picture, the forest instead of the individual trees, for this period of prophecy. In our next session, we will get back to our Thessalonian passage and begin looking at the fine details of what Paul writes about this horrible, insidious man of lawlessness.
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2017 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible Studies section of our website at dlample.com. Unless otherwise indicated, Scripture is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright Lockman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek Hebrew Dictionary. All resources, both at our devotional site, dlample.com, and our His Company Christian Drama site, hc.dlample.com, are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.